You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. People take up the study of medicine because they want to become healers to help others. But what happens when physicians or medical students find themselves struggling with their own challenges, such as depression or anxiety? University of Michigan medical student Rahel Gupta found herself struggling with these mental health problems, even considering suicide. But now she has turned her struggle into action. She has published a call to action in the Journal of the American Medical Association and founded a nonprofit initiative called Physicians Connected to encourage physicians to start sharing their struggles and admit they are just as human as their patients. Rahel Gupta, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you're now in your fourth year of medical school at U of M. Congratulations. I know that is a tough slog.
Thank you.
You had to work through depression and anxiety that really hit you hard in your second year. You write about that in your piece for the Journal of the American Medical Association. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the first 2 years of medical school are completely didactic, or they formerly were. Since then, the curriculum has been reformed. But the first 2 years are just filled with lectures and weekly examinations that are pass-fail. And your success really depends on your ability to keep up with the pace and the rigor of the curriculum and to score well on those exams continuously. I think that over time, it just really began to wear on me. And I felt that I really lost touch with myself. I lost touch with things that were important to me. I stopped enjoying the things that previously brought me joy. I wasn't thinking as clearly. I started to be disinterested not only in school, but also in connection with, you know, loved ones and the world around me. I lost touch with my interest in being a healer. And ultimately with my interest in living as well.
So what happened? You write about that in your piece. Tell us at that moment when you were thinking, maybe I will end this.
Yeah, that was probably the darkest, I can say with confidence, the darkest moment of my life. I was walking home after having studied for many hours for a neurology examination. Must have been past midnight, walking home from the library and dark outside, and I felt so unsure of my ability to do well on the test, unsure of my ability to be successful in medical school, and I just felt very empty, kind
You're
of
right
emotionally
about
depleted. Yeah,
and almost having a why go on feeling, didn't you?
Yes, exactly. And walking home, you know, there's a lot of traffic on the street, even at that hour on my way home from the library. And there was a moment where I considered, you know, if I were to walk in front of a bus hurtling down this particular avenue, I could very efficiently end my life. And in that moment, I did end up actually, you know, quickly, thankfully, walking out of the street. But yeah, it was really a wake-up call that I had lost touch with myself and that I needed to seek help and make a change.
And you did. Mm-hmm. And you opened up. And was it hard to open up and tell a therapist the kinds of pressures that you were feeling?
You know, people ask me that all the time. I think for a lot of people, therapy is such a foreign concept. You know, it's hard enough to talk about our despair and our emotions to those around us, let alone a stranger. In my case, I think I had kept things very much inside for a long time, and I hadn't disclosed to even my closest friends how badly I was feeling. And to all of a sudden have this opportunity to share what was going on was actually a huge relief.
Cathartic.
For me. Very much so. I didn't find it strange. I think I was honestly kind of so out of it that I didn't think about it.
You just did it.
I just did it.
And you did the work. And you came back. But in opening up to other students, you realize that you are not alone. And as you write, depression and its vestiges are everywhere, and that you feel physicians, and I'm using your words, contribute to the stigmatization of mental illness by keeping their struggles to themselves. Why is it so hard for physicians and aspiring physicians to admit they're struggling?
As a patient, the majority of patients, I think it's safe to say, aren't really looking for vulnerability from their physicians. They're looking for confidence. They're looking for answers. They're looking for certainty. And the medical training very much kind of
reinforces
that desire that it's thought the majority of patients have. In training as a medical student, you're rewarded for being confident about your answers and your delivery, regardless of their veracity. I found that I did better on rotations where I was just particularly confident, even if I didn't always know what I was talking about. And for that reason, the things that are not rewarded in the training are vulnerability, self-disclosure. In the doctor-patient encounter, there isn't thought to be that much room for your story. And that, it actually makes sense. And there's a reason that things are the way they are.
In the doctor-patient
relationship. In the doctor-patient relationship.
And the medical business model. Got to get patients through, got to get patients right. through. You have to act decisively. And certainly some specialties, you do have to be decisive and embrace that.
Right. And our primary goal is to deliver quality patient care and to respond to the needs of the patient. So,
but even amongst each other, it's hard, isn't it? That's
what
I could tell from reading your piece. So it's admitting even to each other that makes it hard. Why do people fear that that's a career ender or could derail your career?
Well, they have some valid reasons for thinking that. The medical boards in different states have different rules about licensing, and there are a few states that still require you to disclose if you've ever had any mental health issues in the past. So people have fears about licensure. They have fears that if they do self-disclose, it will kind of damage their professional prospects. But above and beyond that, I think it's a very competitive world. Yes, we all come to medical school with these very earnest ideas of caring for people and being healers. And I pray that the majority of us hold on to that. But it's also like it's extremely competitive. And, you know, I'm applying to residency right now. In every instance in medical school, you're kind of considered against your peers. And so it's not really most people's instincts to emphasize their weaknesses.
Or struggles.
Right.
Well, as you began this initiative, Physicians Connected, you made a powerful short video, this string of medical students and physicians speaking out about fighting depression. Now, let's take a listen to part of this video.
I admit openly
that I'm just as vulnerable
to the elements of life
as are my future patients.
In the hopes that others will do the same.
I do so in the hopes
that the culture of the medical profession
will evolve to value imperfection
as a hallmark of humanity,
and that this value will govern
the way we judge our students and our residents.
What do you hope will happen because of this video or your effort in Physicians Connected? What's your mission?
Well, my hope is that eventually depression and other mental health issues will be viewed the same way as physical illnesses. If a colleague broke their leg, the majority of us wouldn't say, you know, just tough it out and let nature heal it. We would say you should probably get that checked out by, you know, an orthopedic surgeon or an ER doc and get that casted. In the same way, if somebody is struggling with depression, we shouldn't just let the disease run its natural course. It requires treatment, and treatment can be extremely effective and beneficial. So my hope is that these efforts to reduce stigma help people to see things that way. My hope is that more people who need care seek care and are connected with it. And my primary mission is for the physician community to take a leadership role when it comes to mental health, because we have tremendous power to shape the way that depression, for any illness really, including depression, is viewed by society. So we should really be the ones, especially given the fact that this depression and suicidality are epidemics in our community, we should be taking a leadership role in changing the way people think about mental illness.
As you put in your piece for JAMA, the idea of admitting frailty, in a sense, can connect you more with the people you're trying to heal.
Right.
What do you think this could all mean to the healthcare providers as well as to their patients if this kind of approach that you talk about and sharing your story and not being afraid to admit, yeah, me too?
If a patient can go to a doctor who's part of the larger medical community and know that the medical community actually values mental health care and really thinks of mental illness as worthy of treatment and careful attention, that perhaps more people will be willing to seek care and to share their struggles in a way that's important to the quality of their care.
And is Physicians Connected something that you want to build on and kind of take out of beyond your school and beyond the University of Michigan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's my dream. I mean, I would love for this to be an organization that has chapters at different medical schools or residency programs. I would love for it to take off. That's absolutely my dream, and I intend to keep working on it in residency.
Medical student Rahel Gupta, founder of Physicians Connected. She's a writer, a filmmaker, and we want to thank you so much for sharing your work with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you or someone you know may be considering suicide, contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. That number, 1-800-273-8255.